big economic numbers, but also big caveats. From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Let's take a closer look now at the GDP report with Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Mark.
So the morning's numbers show strong 4% growth in the second quarter. Also, the previous quarter wasn't as bad as originally thought. What's your key takeaway from this report?
I think you should maybe take an average of the first half of the year, and then you see growth is, you know, maybe about 1%, 2%, somewhere in that range. I think that's the real underlying trend of U.S. growth. I don't think investors should get too excited by any one particular quarterly number.
And when these numbers come out, we try to remind people that this is an estimate right now, this 4% growth number, just the first crack, really. What's the danger of reading too much into this?
Yeah, the data is always a trade-off between the timeliness and the accuracy. About half or a little more than half of the data is subject to heavy revisions, Mark. We don't have complete data for inventories, for trade, for some of the spending on services that consumers put out there. So this could change by a large degree. If you remember back to Q1, the initial reading that we received was just marginally positive growth rate. And that was subsequently revised away, and now we're down 2% for the first quarter.
Okay, Jeffrey Cleveland at Payden & Riegel. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
A key ruling this week against McDonald's is giving hope to labor unions fighting to organize fast food employees. It's the latest in an ongoing campaign to raise worker pay to $15 an hour. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has been covering labor cases involving big companies like McDonald's and Walmart. Mitchell, if this ruling holds, how big could the impact be?
So the National Labor Relations Board's General Counsel has ruled that McDonald's is a so-called joint employer of workers at Mickey D's restaurants. Now, keep in mind, those workers actually flip burgers and get their paychecks from McDonald's franchise owners. If it stands, the ruling could make McDonald's liable for serious wage and hour violations, also for trying to thwart the union drive. You know, keep in mind, 90% of McDonald's restaurants are franchises. McDonald's insists that it's the franchise owners who are actually the employers. But the workers' lawyers say McDonald's provides the franchises with software to control staffing levels, you know, when people should clock in and out based on how many customers there are. Isn't that just like being the employer? Well, NLRB seems to agree, at least for now.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Thanks. Angry Birds and Super Mario storming Capitol Hill. The video game industry is now playing Washington's lobbying game. And it's got a secret weapon, an army of passionate gamers. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports on how game makers and players are getting their voices heard in Washington in a whole new way.
How do we best tell this to policymakers?
We're in a strategy meeting in Washington's trendy Chinatown, listening to the voice of video game makers in Washington, Eric Huey. Donkey Kong champion, Madden addict, and now chief lobbyist for the Entertainment Software Association, the main trade group for the gaming business in Washington.
I feel like Mario, the fix-it man, the plumber, making sure that things flow correctly. But I think more often than not, I feel like Sonic the Hedgehog, running around with frenetic energy.
All right, rock and roll.
Huey and his staff have just finished discussing a plan to highlight gaming industry jobs in congressional districts. Now Huey is off to the corridors of Capitol Hill, first to visit Congressman Joe Garcia, a Democrat from Florida.
How are you, Congressman?
All right, we're good.
Good to
how
see you.
Doing?
How are things? Doing all right?
Doing well.
Right. Appreciate
great.
You taking the time.
You can.
Members of Congress listened to Huey. The Center for Responsive Politics says the Entertainment Software Association spent almost $5.5 million on lobbying in 2013.
That's pretty serious lobbying money.
Vivica Novak is the center's spokeswoman. Scrolling through spending reports, Novak says there was a spike in the video game lobby's spending as Congress considered a bill mandating research into whether violent video games cause actual violence.
So almost half of their reports in 2013 mentioned the Violent Content Research Act. It's clearly something they were very concerned about.
The bill is now stalled in the Senate. The video game industry has lobbied on online piracy and privacy, too. And they're not just relying on shoe leather. They're trying to get gamers to help make their case online, but it's not easy, according to Andrew Roche, the founder of Personal Democracy Media and chairman of an annual conference on politics and technology.
Yeah, it's a little bit like herding cats with a dog in the room.
Gamers don't always support the tech lobby's positions. Still, Eric Huey says his association has organized about 600,000 gamers into a group called the Video Game Voters Network. When a congressman recently made disparaging remarks about gaming, Huey says thousands of the video voters responded.
4,000 constituents calling in. That's quite powerful.
Huey says when it works, the Video Game Voters Network can be a potent weapon, an advantage over other lobbyists who don't have such an active online base that's used to combat, at least in video games. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, the complexities and bizarre economics of America's healthcare system can create all kinds of problems. We can add to that list the Sharknado movies. At first, star Ian Ziering didn't want to do the original Sharknado. For some reason, he didn't think a cheap movie about sharks in a tornado sounded like a solid career move. But to get union health insurance, actors have to make a certain amount of money per year. So with a pregnant wife, Ziering put down reservations about the cheesy script and picked up a shark chainsaw. Sharknado 2 is tonight. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.